What if financial freedom didn't mean $1 million salary, but a caravan, a toolbox, and a plan? Because that is exactly how today's guest made it happen. Welcome to Making Sense. It's the podcast for people who want financial freedom without giving up their coffee, supported by our friends at KiwiBank. I'm Frances Cook, a financial journalist and fellow financial freedom seeker who makes money simple for you. What do you think of the idea of hitting financial freedom in your early 50s? Because that's what today's guest did in a process they call relifing. As in, they chucked in the previous life, started a new one on their terms. Now, they'd run a trades business for years. Glazing, locksmithing, the kind of solid, practical work that pays the bills doesn't necessarily scream early retirement. They raised their kids, kept the business running, and then one day decided, that's enough. Sold the business, invested in property to create a steady income, and radically downsized, moving into a caravan to travel the country with total freedom. So, what does that life actually look like? How did they pull it off? And could you do something similar, even if you're not rolling in cash? Let's dig into it. Making Sense is on a mission to make money simple, and I just couldn't do that without the support of KiwiBank. It's really important to me to only work with companies that understand that mission. And for KiwiBank, their purpose is to help Kiwi and Aotearoa be better off. So bringing you real stories of different approaches to finance is one of the ways they're making a difference to the lives of their customers. This is Making Kiwi Better Off. This is Kiwi. And joined now by Charmaine Hands, who relifed just 51 a couple of years ago. I love that take on financial independence, to call it relifing. When did you first hear about financial independence? And what does it mean to you to take that concept and say, we're relifing?
My husband's always said to me, we're not going to wait. He's always been worried about having a short life. For no particular reason, he's not unwell or anything, but he's always said, "We're not going to wait. We're going to do whatever we're going to do. We're going to do it sooner rather than later." So I've always kind of had the thing that I needed to kind of keep an eye on the time and the clock, and make sure that, you know, what we were doing every year was building something that we wanted, and to do that, it was really hard because we didn't have any money, right? So it was like, well, we were building a small business. We had a young family. The things that I felt were important, or I felt like, you know, I wanted to be able to give my family a holiday, but I wanted it to be a really cool holiday. I remember ringing up and thinking, okay, we're going to go down south. We're going to do a South Island holiday. So we're living in Whakatane. I was going to hire a camper van. So I rang the camper van place up and said, what's it cost for a camper van for 6 weeks around South Island? And they said, it's going to be like $12,000. And I was like, that's ridiculous. $12,000? So much. So I thought, I know, I'll buy an old caravan and I'll fix it up and we'll do our trip and we'll tow it around South Island. And if it breaks down halfway, then we'll have a batch in Southland, because we'll just leave it on the side of the road somewhere. And that's exactly what we did. We bought the caravan, we fixed it up, we just did all the work ourselves. And when we got back, we sold it for like double what we'd paid for it. We didn't only get our 6 week holiday around South Island, we actually increased our financial status by, you know, being clever with the money we did have.
Yeah.
And investing into something that ended up repaying us. And well, I've actually done that quite a few times now.
It's funny that, isn't it, with the financial independence, because I think a lot of people hear, you know, live frugally, invest as much as you can live off the investments. And a lot of people come back and say, well, I just don't have enough money to be able to invest enough. It's often seen as a thing for quite wealthy people. And obviously things are easier if you're wealthy. I mean, clearly. But I do think there are options, right, to find other ways of doing things, right? So you've taken a real sort of DIY, frugality, the classic number eight wire sort of approach, would you say?
Yeah. So when we were traveling, I was like, okay, I really want to have a cool experience with the kids. We're not going to be able to spend a lot of money. But what I worked out is if I went to every like city or main town, they all had a really good swimming pool or a swimming complex. So I could go in there and buy a family pass for the day. If it was raining in Dunedin, then we could go there for the day. The kids would have an absolute blast for a family pass with like $30. And, you know, that was perfect.
I love that. Okay. So you started looking at other ways to sort of enjoy your life for less with the family. Did you know at that stage that it was sort of leading on the path to financial independence? Or was that something that you found that term later? Like, when did you find a structure to say, like, ooh, that's something we might want to aim towards?
I don't think I hadn't sort of planned it that way. I just knew that what I wanted to do was imagine what my life was like. So I was going to imagine that it was going to be cool, and I was going to imagine that in the future, this is what we were going to be doing. So we were going to be traveling with our kids, or we were going to be, once our kids had left home, we would be traveling ourselves. So I did know that probably quite earlier on, but I didn't realize what it would mean financially, I suppose. I knew that we had a business for 20 years and we put our blood, sweat and tears into that. And it was a trades business. You know, we really put a lot of effort into our business. I loved business. Business was fun to me. That was something that I could go through every day and hang out there. And I loved staff we had. We had such a cool time. But to me, it was, you had to be having fun while you were doing it, or it wasn't worth doing. So after 21 years in business, we sold the business to a staff member that was a couple of years ago. And yeah, he's doing extremely well. So that's really cool. We're stoked about that.
I love that. What a great outcome. I mean, spoiler alert for later in the episode, and we're going to talk about this, because you have used your financial independence, your relifing, to get all that wonderful travel that you were talking about. You have built that. We're going to come back to that, because I think these points that you're making about the business are really interesting, and people are going to be keen to know more about that. Because like you say, very recently, it was 18 months ago, right, that you were still running your own business. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. So that's fresh. So talk to me more about what your business was, and if that was a key way that you were able to build towards this lifestyle that you've got now.
The way we run it is, I was in the account side of it, and, you know, and my husband was in the hands-on, the trades side of it. So
what trade was it?
Glazing and locksmithing. So yeah, he was really good at what he did. A lot of it was DIY. So we were learning as we were going. That was something that is stressful at times. It's stressful a lot of the time.
I'll bet.
And you've still got a young family. You've still got to, you know, try and get home to pick them up from school. And I just remember that the juggle was enormous. We both did have a vision how we wanted life to turn out. So the house, we bought a house early on, just before we bought the business. And I decided that if I had to spend all this time in this house, then I'm going to have to make it like a little resort.
Love it.
So it took a long time, but it took 20 years actually. And we still own the house, but we rented it out. Yeah, it had a terrible backyard. And I remember thinking, you know, getting a photo out of a magazine, and I had it on my fridge, and then for, I don't know, at least a year. And it was a beautifully landscaped backyard with a pool. And I thought, and ours was just dust and sand, and just hadn't had anything like that. And I was like, I'm going to have this pool, and it's going to have to look similar to this photo. And so it took a long time, probably 3 years in the end, but we got it. And the way we did it is, it was an insurance job. So I'd cracked at the bottom, and we found it on Trade Me. My husband, and we'd been looking for this photo, and my husband said to me one day, rang up and said, you never guess I found this pole. It's in this yard, this building place. So he said, go drive past, have a look. So I drive past and I think, oh my God, it's a shell of a pole. This is exactly what we want. This is our pole and it just needs this part of it fixed. So I went online and the kids are sitting there one day and I'm like, there's a buy now and it's like $3,000 for this pole. And I thought, I'm bidding against someone. And I'm sitting in the chair and the kids are like, just press the buy now, Mum. And I'm like, no, I'm bidding. That's what you do in training. You bid for it. You know, it's like $2,000. You know, it's going up and up, $100, another $100, another $100. The kids are like, press the buy now. And I'm like, no, I'm bidding on it. They're like, no, press the buy now. So finally I hit the buy now and I get the pool. And yeah, 6 weeks later, we dug our own hole in the back of our yard. Yeah, we were just clever and probably took a really huge risk of fitting it ourselves and had this pool fitted. And once you've got a pool fitted, you're like, now I need to put concrete down. So like, you know, you scrape and save and get some concrete to get laid as well. And you swap the guy the concrete with, you know, a bit of glass balustrading and, you know, like all of these deals had to be done to get this pool in. I have a most amazing swimming pool.
Love that.
Another friend down the road had just put a pool in. She'd paid $90,000 to put a pool in. And hers looked fabulous too. But I knew I just didn't have $90,000. So really, we probably put the pool in for around $5,000.
Wow.
So I think that those are just things where you kind of imagine. You have to start with imagining. You have to start with a picture in your mind or a picture out of a magazine. And you have to build it from there. And I don't think you can have it immediately. But you can have the idea immediately. It's just developing and manifesting that thing is going to take time. And you just have to be willing to and be stubborn enough to do it. And that's what we've done.
You are 100% speaking my language here, because people often, you know, will talk to me and ask me for tips and tricks, what to do with their money. And they're often looking for really like actionable strategies. They're thinking numbers. They're thinking invest in this stock. They're thinking save this percentage. And I'm just like, always, before you get into any of that stuff, what do you actually want? You know, what's the life you're aiming for, right? And it feels like that's been really key for you, is like you've said, these are the things I want. These are the things I'd like to make happen. Not a millionaire. Now, how am I going to make it happen? And sort of getting creative from there. But it all starts with the vision, right? And then being willing to sit with it and be like, okay, now how do we make the vision a reality?
That's exactly right. Because if we didn't have the vision, if we didn't have an idea, look, this is where we are, this is where we're going to get to, you're not going to get there at all. You know, with the money side of it, yeah, it just sort of tends to turn up when you need it. That sounds a bit easy, but we paid ourselves a wage. We paid ourselves really well, which was another thing I learned over the years, because in the end, the business is going to show that it can support two owners really well financially. And that was going to build back into the sale of the business, and it did. So I did all of the marketing. I did all the advertising. I did the website. You know, I just did the best I could and got as much free advice as I could get. And there's lots out there. There's lots and lots out there. You know, I did a bit of business mentoring in my later years, because I knew how hard it was when I was younger. I had all these ideas and I had these young kids, and I just needed to flesh out these ideas and get someone to actually listen to me and say, okay, you need to do this, then you need to do this, then you need to do this. And luckily, it took a little while for me to work out how that was all going to work out for me, but it did in the end. But I'm looking back, you know, when you've got small children, sometimes you have to put stuff on the back burner and you don't want to. And I didn't want to, but I did. And it was a good idea, because your biggest, very biggest and most important investment is absolutely, firstly, your relationship. And your marriage, and then your children,
mm-hmm.
in that order.
Yes. Hard to remember that in the day to day, but it is very important.
So when I do help other people out with business mentoring, it's checking out, first of all, what's on the table, what's in your sphere, like what do you have going on? Have, you know, how's your relationship? How are your children doing? Because all of that is part of your life, and really it does need to be equal parts. We put family into our business and business into our family.
People often talk about start your own business, be your own boss. It can be a key way to earn more. You know, you take more risk for sure. Business isn't easy, but you can also get more reward. You can earn more. But you're also clearly someone who's really been careful about where that money then goes. So in terms of being able to build up your financial base, your financial independence, what's the balance been like there in terms of earning more versus spending less? Would you say there was a percentage of effort going either way?
I think it was an equal split. What I believed is you'd have to build a good financial base. It's like foundations for a house. So I remember seeing it written once as you started off with your basis of your basic money level or your finance level, and then you build a house on top of that, and then you build other income streams from there. So what I like to do is go, okay, what's on my basic level? Is that my KiwiSaver? Is that long-term shares? Is that income or money that's or investments that are going to feed me back later? So that will be my business. That will be my house that became a rental. That will be anything else that we see as a long-term asset. But those assets need to somehow pay us back or pay us into the future. So then there's your mortgage on top of that, or your house, and that becomes a big asset as well. And then there's sort of smaller things, like I said, that come off there that can be a vehicle. So when you buy a vehicle, you might be able to buy it at a really good price. Having a little pockets of assets, or looking at an asset and going, okay, how can I build more on that asset, or what can I do to improve that asset, or how can I maintain that asset so that it's looking sparkly and new and fresh and clean and ready for sale really at any time as well. So everything's for sale if someone wants to buy it.
Love it. Love it.
So that's, I think, being important too, is that, you know, if someone wants to buy something, they're like, oh, I really want to, buy your motorbike or your car or, you know, your push bike, then sell it, flick it, get rid of it. You can cut another deal at a really good place, but it's finding the best deals, finding a really good deal. You have to be patient and you can't rush a sale. So when you want to sell something, you can't rush it. And when you want to buy something, you can't rush it either. So those are key things that if you want to buy something at a really good price or sell something at a really good price, you just can't be in a hurry to do that.
100%. Speed can be a great way to lose money. If you can be the patient one who's ready and waiting to go, then that can be a great way to have some strategy behind it, right?
Mm.
You mentioned your house that became a rental. And I think that's a great segue into that, because people are always fascinated by property investment. It can be an amazing lever to pull. You used property in quite an interesting strategic way, a little bit different. So talk to me about, it was two investment properties, right? And they're quite different.
Yep. So we've got our family home, which is a big house at the beach in the Hopi. We've continued to work on it over the last 20 years. You know, we've had the option to sell it a few times, but our kids were young and we needed the house. We needed all of it. We were using everything. It was a really busy house, and it was perfect for a big family. And so when the time came to that all the kids left, and we had continued to work on it and redo the kitchen, redo the bathrooms. So it was all stuff that we'd done, pretty much work we'd done mostly ourselves, as much as we could anyway.
And so that was just continuing to upgrade the asset and continuing to reinvest in the asset. That was important. I knew the type of house I wanted. I knew that it had to look really good inside and out. It had to be easy care. It had to be all of these things that were going to make it a fantastic buy for someone else, right? Because I think every time I bought anything, a large asset or small, I had to work out that how could I increase the value of this asset? So how could I increase the value, or how can this asset that I buy right now be worth a lot more in the future? So It did become really big house, and we didn't need a huge house anymore. We wanted to travel, so we thought we'll buy a caravan or invest in a caravan. We will actually probably sell the house in the near future. Again, I'm keeping an eye on the market, and I'm really just waiting for the market to bounce. So once the market, I see it probably bouncing within the next year to 18 months, then that's probably when we'll sell. If we sold any earlier, we might lose a couple hundred thousand in a sale that we can't, well, we don't choose to make that in a year anymore. The other property or income stream we have is we purchased the building that the business was running out of.
It's interesting, the two very different properties there, though, because I think a lot of people, especially in New Zealand, will talk about residential property. That's when you talk about property investment, that's what people tend to think of. Buy a house, people come to live in it, and you get rent from them. And the classic way that a lot of people get into that residential property is by having something change in their situation, whether they upgrade their home or something else, and they rent out their old home. I mean, it's a real classic tactic. In terms of, though, the commercial property, I feel like that's not talked about as much and can often be a better opportunity. So when you got into that, were there sort of key differences that you found between the residential versus the commercial? And is it something, would you recommend that tactic to people?
Yeah, absolutely. Commercial, the difference, I suppose, commercial property is that it doesn't have to have the compliance levels accommodation does. So if it's an office or a, you know, trades building, yeah, it's a lot easier to do a fit out. You don't have to have the insulation and stuff you do for a private. Yeah, so I think that way it's easier. I mean, everyone's risking for commercial property because they probably look at it and go, it's expensive, but I mean, you can get commercial property that is not expensive. You know, if you know it's a really solid business, and of course, we're the one that built the business, we know how solid the business was and continues to be, then you've got a, you know, highly likely that you've got a good tenant that's going to stay for a long time. And that's what we've got. And even if this tenant decides to move on, we've still got a good thing, because when we looked at it, we went, you know, you look around in an area and go, what's the benefits of being in this particular spot? And what we've got is really high turnover from traffic. They've got really good, you know, exposure. I think that's, you know, that's probably the main things about commercial, is that you've got to be have a bit of a business head on you to understand what would be a good type of business to go in there, and have an idea of who you could approach, you know, to do that.
Life looks different for everyone. Maybe you're buying your first home, growing your whānau, dreaming of travel, or simply trying to stay on top of things. KiwiBank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. Find out more at kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. All right, let's get into the fun bit. I've been dying to do this our whole conversation, but where you are now, because you are using this relifing your financial independence to travel all over New Zealand currently. So talk to me about the travel and the kind of lifestyle that you've built. Because, I mean, for anyone who's watching the video version of this, you are coming to us live from your caravan. It's fantastic. Tell me about how you're living now.
Yep. My husband and I are living in the caravan. We're in Queenstown. We like to ski. So we come for the season. We have been for the last couple of seasons. Sometimes we house sit if it works out. With house sitters, some beautiful houses, amazing, really cool pets. We've had really good luck with house sitting and that's worked fabulous. And so it suits me sometimes to, you know, get a little country property, and they're usually on little farms, and, you know, there's sheep, and I think the last one was 19 sheep and 5 chickens, a dog and a cat.
So good.
And it's really, really cool. And they just had outstanding views. And that's the thing with traveling, I suppose, is our kids happen to be here and we get to hang out with them, and, you know, we're careful not to hang out too much. But they actually don't mind us hanging out, I believe. And yeah, and they love to ski as well. So it's really cool. Yeah, I might just go to the gym the days I'm not skiing. So my husband will ski every day and I'll ski the nice days.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I know, like, the classic retire to something, not from something, right? That people often talk about, you need to have something that you're interested in, that if you quit the job or sell the business or whatever, and you're running away from a situation that you find stressful, but you have nothing you're running to, it can leave life rather empty. Meanwhile, I look at what you've built and it's so similar to what I imagine is my ideal life, you know, being able to hang out with the kids. I mean, my kids, I'm in a very different stage of life. Mine are still very little, but I just, if they'll let me, imagine in the future, you know, when I'm an empty nester, I'd love to follow them around the world and be like, hi, still want to hang out. What's up with you? But, you know, fill that time around it when they're living their own lives with travel and interesting things. And, you know, you're clearly still very active. You're going skiing, you're hitting the gym. And it's so similar to what I would love to be doing when I hit my 50s as well.
You've got to be cooler than your kids, right?
Yeah, exactly. Fingers crossed. And it's funny because I think you've got this real values-based spending mindset, at least to me. I talk to people about this a lot, that I don't think spending money is bad. You just want to make sure it's adding to your life, right? And I look at what you're doing and it seems like you are really focused on that you know what you want to do. You don't want to spend too much on that, and you'll be really frugal in some areas, but you're not exactly living this beans and rice lifestyle. You're just saying what appeals to me, and I'm going to spend on the things that I think really bring value and not on the things that don't. So what would you say is bringing value to this stage of your life? Like, what will you spend on and what have you cut?
Well, I still buy Central Otago Pinot Noir.
Oh, love it. That's a need, not a want.
That's right. Because it's the very best. I'm also careful about how many bottles I buy and if it's on sale or not. So if my favorite wine is on sale, then I will definitely buy it. But I will wait until it comes on sale and then buy it. So, you know, good things come to those who are patient and I think have a value for that. So I have a value for our fitness and our day-to-day sports. You know, we invested in season ski passes, which are like $1,200. It's an incredibly good deal. And it's world-class skiing here. Snow skiing here is top of the line. So it's like, you're not only getting really good value for money, I think. Yeah, it's a great experience. It's not just a meek and mild experience. Yes, I have to contend with, I'm staying in the caravan at the moment and it can be cold. And yeah, I keep the heater going. But that's the deal we have, that we cut a deal, you know, with someone down the road where we can park on their section and they'll supply us power. And we've just, you know, got a good deal going with them at the moment. You know, I'm careful about spending money on fuel. So I put about $100 away a week for fuel into our fuel account. I like lots of different bank accounts for lots of different things. And I just post little bits of money to those often. Because it's less painful, right? And I still pay ourselves weekly, which is, I don't really have to do that either, but I think it helps me keep to a budget and be careful about how I'm saving. So I'm still saving. I'm still collecting money for the tax man. At the end of the year, so I'll need to do that too with the income that we're getting, and then, you know, pulling that all off at the end of the year. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know if we are making it. I'm like, man, it's down to the wire. Are we still here? Are we still doing it? I think so. Can we do it again next week? I think so.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not always clear and concise as to with money. But I think if you're stubborn like I am and you see a way forward, you know, it's the Kiwi in you that keeps going, right? It's the, how am I going to figure this out? And not giving up and not going, I'm going to go get a job at Bunnings. I wouldn't probably mind getting a job at Bunnings because I probably was quite a lot of work there. I'd like to be the lollipop lady.
Yeah, that'd be fun. In terms of when you say, you know, the income coming in, is that now from, that's the two properties and I'm assuming savings from selling the business? Is that the main pots?
Yeah. So mainly our income is from both the rentals, the commercial rental and our private rental. Yeah. And a little bit from investments, but they're only smaller.
Are we talking shares or something there?
Yeah. Yeah. So you've still got to be careful that one of those rentals might go out. You might have to, you know, wear that for a month or 6 weeks or even longer. So I'm careful about that as well. So I'm constantly stashing, as I call it. And I think you feel better when you stash money. And you're just looking out. I suppose you're always, and always thinking about the future. You're always thinking, okay, I've got two vehicles. We need tyres for the caravan this year. We need tyres for all the vehicles as well. So ended up getting, you know, three vehicles, three lots of tyres. And that's like, it's like $3,500. So it's like,
that's so much money. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had to like save that up over the last 18 months and know that when you go to get it, it's already there. And so you don't have to stress about, oh shit, I'm going to be without a warrant or I can't, you know, like, cause I don't have, I'm going, tires are no good. You've got to save it first and then spend it. And I think that is also a thing that you learn when you're working with your credit and not working with your debit. What I've always told people when mentoring them is even if you have a lot of debit or a lot of debt, you still have to manage that debt. It's so vitally important. If you have a lot of debt, you have to manage it. If you don't manage your debt, someone else will. Someone else is the bank. Someone else is a family member that you borrowed it off. They're going to do it for you, which means they're going to give you a terrible interest rate if it's a mortgage. Those are the things you've got to just be careful of and mindful of.
Yeah, 100%. In terms of how you're going now and the caravan life, which I think is an amazing choice, I imagine that was fairly key to giving you the freedom to build the current lifestyle. It's one heck of a downsize, though, to go from your own home, you know, you'd got this glorious pool in, and now you're like, okay, we're gonna get renters in, we're gonna live in a caravan, we're gonna have the freedom to travel around, see the kids, go other places if we want. But I mean, how key was that to the financial journey? And are there sort of trade-offs? I imagine there's heaps of pros. Are there also cons?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely cons. And yeah, there's still pros. I mean, the cons are that we're now living in this tiny little caravan. Hey, Dallas.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
He's just finished his ski day.
Love it.
So things that I appreciate that I never did. Water on a tap that you don't have to fill up yourself. Toilets. Those are little things that you go, wow, I never thought I would appreciate just running water that I don't have to fill up my own caravan, and a flushing toilet that you can just use and flush away and it's gone.
Yeah.
But on the upside of that is we don't have a power bill.
Yeah.
You know, what we have for power is, a gas bottle And we are careful about where we fill them up because gas bottle prices vary a lot.
Yeah. And do you ever find it? I mean, it must be quite a difference in terms of going from an entire house to a caravan. I mean, great demonstration of it here where we've been introed to Dallas there. Do you ever find it a little tricky in terms of the new living space?
Yeah. Boats are way better, I assure you.
Boats are better, he says. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's small and we do struggle. We're actually in the throes of thinking about what we could do about that.
Yeah.
How can I sell my caravan for the same amount, whatever I'm going to do is invest in something else that's better for the same price? Maybe it'll be a bus. It's been fun and really cool. And it's fabulous in summer. And it's only the dark winter months now that I think about it that are probably the hardest, because any other time you're spending a lot of time outside anyway. So we do a lot of e-biking because we invested in e-bikes as well. And yeah, we started biking up the country actually last November because we didn't have much on.
Love it. Speaking of, you know, the lifestyle changes and then living in a smaller space, I mean, some of the decisions you've made would have required a lot of discipline, commitment, and, you know, getting on the same page and really working together on some of these tactics and strategies. Was it ever tricky getting on the same page? Did you have disagreements? I mean, Dallas is right there. He's going to know what you say.
He's going to know. Yes, there was absolutely disagreements. Yes, we still disagree. I think you just got to keep talking to each other and keep debating. I suppose it's just a constant debate, really. It's like, where are we going next? We know what we want to do, and that's adventure. So we want an adventure. So some years ago, we bought a sailboat. She was called Nutmeg. She was a catamaran, a 40-foot catamaran, and we hadn't sailed before, but knew we wanted to learn to sail. So we bought the boat in the Caribbean, flew over there, and they came over, and we sailed that boat back to New Zealand. But that was another adventure in itself. So, yeah, that's been good fun. We sold that boat a couple of years ago. That was our sort of shakedown boat. Yeah, so now we want to go back and want to buy another cat, and but that means we'll have to sell one of the properties. So we'll probably sell the house, and then I'll have to work out if I can afford to do it.
I love it so much.
The vision has to be there first, right?
Yeah, we're back to the vision. It's great.
Back to the vision, you know, you've got to imagine yourself doing it and then working out really the details at the end and going, well, look, there's got to be a way we can do this. We've just got to figure out what it is.
If you're talking to someone who is interested in building financial independence, there's all sorts of people who listen to this podcast. There's people who are quite young, starting out in their careers. There are people who are midlife. There are some people who've retired already. And so if any of those people were listening and saying, I would really love to build some sort of version of what you're building, what would be your biggest tip for someone who's starting today?
Imagine yourself there. You know, before you can do anything, you have to imagine yourself biking up the country. Before you can sail a boat back from Martinique, you have to imagine yourself buying a boat in Martinique. Imagine yourself and imagine that you can do it. Because I think that's what, you know, it's the human condition, isn't it? It's like, can you do it? Well, you don't know until you actually trust yourself and have faith that what you're actually going to do or say is going to work out. And it's all play, right? It's just that's what we're doing, playing and having fun. And I think that's why we're here. The reason we're here is to play, have fun, look at a sunset, smell a flower, look at this beautiful land and go, wow, this is why we're here. This is why we're here. Not to necessarily work long, long hours at a job, but to experience what we have right in front of us, and to travel the world and be able to do that and continue to do that that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep going as long as we can.
where do from here? What's next for you in the next sort of year to 5 years? How does this continue looking for you?
It looks like we can still continue to do this. We'll just keep juggling with our assets. We'll improve them as we can. We'll just do laps of New Zealand. So we've been fortunate and have got really good friend group too.
Keep going with your fixer-uppers and your travel and all that good stuff. It sounds amazing. I love it, Charmaine. I'm feeling really inspired after talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time. That's Charmaine Hands giving us the down low on what relifing looks like. Fantastic. Now, look, if this episode has been useful for you, first of all, hit subscribe wherever you're listening, Spotify, YouTube, whatever else. But also, send it to a friend and let's all get inspired to do different things with our money together. Until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go, this podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.